Welcome to the Stoke It Up podcast, everybody, a podcast encouraging you in your journey with God. I'm Alan Stoddard, and I'm very excited today to have Kirk Storsett with us on the podcast. Kirk, welcome to the podcast, brother.
Hey, man, it's great to be with you.
Amen. Well, let me give you guys a little introduction to Kirk. He is a pastor, but he's also the director of communications at Chick-fil-A here in Granbury, Texas. And I'm going to let him tell some of the rest of the story and his history with Chick-fil-A. But he's the music pastor at Mambrino Baptist Church. I wanted us to explore the conversation about serving and what the church can learn from Chick-fil-A. So, Kirk, I wanted us to explore your mind and your heart for what it looks like to serve the Lord. Because when I was there, I started going through all these thoughts, and I was like, these guys have mastered serving. How do they do that? And here's the phrase. I think I said this to you a few times. Chick-fil-A outserves the church. And I just thought, Wow, if we had this much passion in the church for serving as Chick-fil-A does, we might be unstoppable. So when I ask you the question, what can the church learn about serving and how to make that a life-giving experience in the church? What goes through your mind? You're a pastor. How long have you worked for Chick-fil-A?
So I started working for Chick-fil-A back in 2016. I started out in Houston, Texas. And then I spent most of my time with Chick-fil-A in Louisville, Kentucky, when I was going to Southern Seminary, and spent a lot of time there. And then we moved back to Texas in 2020 and continue to work for Chick-fil-A now. And so grand total, you know, it's about probably around 7 to 8 years total with Chick-fil-A up to this point. It's been a good, I've seen a lot of different leaders and a lot of different people just serve their community and serve others around them. And so I've enjoyed my time working with Chick-fil-A just because we're always trying to find ways to engage the people around us and continue to bring them back, not just to sell them really good food, but we want to be a part of their life. We want to be a positive influence in every way we can. I mean, that's the whole mission behind Chick-fil-A.
Now, when were you called to ministry? Give us that side of it before we go further.
Yeah, so I grew up in a very Christian home. I mean, I grew up, I've been a Southern Baptist since I was born. As a matter of fact, a year ago when we were moving into the house we live in now, I was going through some old boxes and came across the perfect attendance pins that I remember having back in the day. I think I had 8 years straight. So I've always grown up, you know, in the church and around that. My dad was a deacon for many years at one point, but really, I think the call to ministry for me was really back in early high school when I began to help lead worship, when I began to see the impact that the church can truly have on equipping and developing people, not just spiritually, but in every aspect of their life. The church really has the ability to set people up in a way that allows them to give the glory to God in everything they do. And so whether that's in their work, their personal life, their marriages, their kids, everything, the church has a significant role to play in the equipping of people. So I sensed that call early on. I really wrestled with that for a long time. I I went through probably a rough 5-year season of a separation of relationship with my parents and navigating through, how does someone who wants to help families and help lead people to be faithful in everything they do, how do I do that? And also have a difficult relationship with my family. And so, praise the Lord. The Lord has been very kind and gracious to me and to my parents and my family, to where we have a phenomenal relationship now. But I think at the peak of the call, where really the wheels began to turn, was probably back in 2009, when I went to Houston Baptist University for about a year, and then ultimately made my way to Southwestern Seminary and completed my undergraduate degree there. And then obviously at Southern, did my master's degree, and then currently there right now working on my doctorate. And so through all of those experiences, through every place I've served at, the Lord has always been kind to me and helping me find ways to equip not just the people I'm serving, but the people that are have yet to come. How can I instill and equip people now for future generations as well? So
when I ask you what you see as far as serving in light of Chick-fil-A and how Chick-fil-A has mastered this secret sauce culture, and then what I see in churches and in smaller churches, I see a real gap in serving. Like in larger churches, it seems like they've got bigger infrastructure and probably a paid staff person who can mobilize the serving, as opposed to a small church where it falls on local church pastors. And if they're fortunate enough to have a staff, they can execute it like that. What can the church learn from Chick-fil-A? What gaps do you see in the two of excellence that Chick-fil-A pursues and where the church is often? And how do we close that gap?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that Chick-fil-A, we try to instill on day one with our staff, from the moment they sit in an orientation meeting the way we actually apply this, is we want every person, whether that person has eaten at Chick-fil-A every single day for the last 20 years, or if this is their first time, or if they're an employee, we don't care. Anyone that comes in contact with our restaurant and our brand, we want them to be treated with honor, dignity, and respect. And so I think that is an area where when you instill that mentality of the way we're going to approach every person, then that puts that allows us the opportunity to truly, genuinely just serve people. We don't
now,
care.
Are you talking about the employee, or are you talking about the employee to the customer?
I'm talking about the employee to the customer. So we are going to serve every person, regardless of whether we, what we think of them, how they look, anything at all, what they believe. We want to be a positive influence. And we want to impact people in a way that they can see that we genuinely care about them, that we genuinely are glad that they are here. And we want to serve them in the best way. And the best way we do that is by serving chicken and by speaking with them in a kind way that allows them to see that in the middle of a world that is full of sin and full of chaos, that they can have a brief moment of their day where someone is thankful for them. Someone is grateful for them. I'm grateful for the 1,000 people we serve just about every day that come into our restaurant, because those people not just provide jobs for the 70 plus people that work for us, but it allows us the opportunity to develop relationships. I mean, there's probably over a dozen people that I come in contact with a day that routinely come into our restaurant that you just develop relationships over time. They genuinely, I mean, there's probably six different people I can think of now that ask me about my family, ask me about how my church is. And so you develop that over time. And so I think this is one aspect of where the church can really learn from Chick-fil-A is that we have a genuine desire to care for and serve everyone. And I think that's something that a lot of churches can miss the opportunity on. They want to care for and serve maybe a specific niche of people, or they want to care for and serve a specific demographic instead of seeking to serve all aspects of creation and how God has allowed us the opportunity, given us the command to go and to serve the world with the gospel. And so we can take the principle of seeking out every person and apply that to the church by seeking out everyone, regardless of what their background is, the way they do things, the way their previous life has been, or whether their current life is. We have the ability as the church to distinguish ourselves as genuine, caring people that want to serve our world with the gospel. So I think that servant attitude, and that really, it takes place in developing a culture of humility. I think a lot of our staff, and I can say this from, you know, working in multiple different locations over many years now, is there's a lot of humility a lot of our people have. They genuinely have a compassionate heart, a desire to care for our people. So I think that's a huge area that the church can fill the void in.
All right. So you've said a couple things. One, employees treated, well, I wrote it down, employees treated with honor, dignity, and respect. Really, it's a filter through to the customer. And I said, I started thinking about when I first came on at Chick-fil-A and you guys onboarded me, and I had not applied for a job in 40 years. I was Army and then ministry, and those aren't real jobs to me. Those are so nuanced and different. So that let's take an excursion. When I started working for you there, I will admit, as a 59-year-old guy, I had to come to grips with serving people that were difficult and my capacity to do it. As an adult, I'm going, oh man, this is challenging. It's good when the customer's great, but when the customer's coming back going, you know, I had a lady once, or maybe it was a guy, I don't remember, who said something like, there were only, there weren't 12 nuggets or however many, how many come in a 8 count and 12 count? She said a 12 count and there were only 11. I thought, who comes back for a missing nugget? Anyway, in the church, I think we have it a little easier because I think the amount of people that are going to come up and say certain things, in my experience, they don't just blab it out like they would in a restaurant. It seems like they're reserved. Only a few come up that are difficult.
Yeah.
Is that right in church? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
People are guarded. They're not going to come and do what they would do in public somewhere else, is what I'm saying.
Well, there's definitely a lot of, I think there's a lot of wisdom people utilize in how they want to approach, addressing an issue that involves someone that that they've developed a personal relationship with over time. And so, you know, there's going to be a different relationship with me handing out somebody, you know, a chicken sandwich versus, you know, if I miss something, they're going to, and rightly so. I mean, I've done this. I mean, I've someone's missed something in my order. I go back, hey, you missed this. But people are going to, they're going to nuance the conversation differently than they would on a church related issue. Now, that I think that is somewhat changing though. Because, you know, I think in our age of social media and our age of quick, witty responses, I think people are a little bit more, they're willing to kind of off the cuff be a little more direct in voicing their concern. Whereas maybe before people would, you know, quietly, discreetly, you know, in other manners, address the issue. Whereas now, I think that's starting to change. I still think people are going to be wise and be respectful. But I think, you know, some of the tide is changing in people's ability to engage in a positive and kind way than maybe in past time.
So here I come and get a job there, and I think I know how to serve. I think I'm a great servant. I've been a pastor for a long time, and I get there and I'm challenged by it. And that was a curveball for me. Because I did not know fast food, and I definitely didn't know it at the level that Chick-fil-A does it. It took me 2 months just to feel like I was getting somewhere. So, there's a challenge when you're challenged. In other words, it's easy to serve who we want to serve, who it's easy to serve. It's not as easy when you're tired and you're doing it, as you said, a genuine desire to serve everyone, to serve. And that's another thing, to serve everybody, whether no matter what their plight in life, people come in beat up.
I mean, I think, you know, I've had people, I remember this was, man, probably about 6 years ago. I was working at Chick-fil-A and I had a woman walk up and, you know, we do our traditional greeting of, hi, how are you today? And immediately the lady said, terrible. And usually they're not that honest. Most people are pretty, oh, I'm doing okay, even if they're doing terrible. And this lady began to explain to me that she found out she'd had cancer. She found out she was diagnosed with cancer that day. And I just remember in that moment, like, man, I have an opportunity here to show compassion and grace and show a positive tone towards someone who's going through, you know, probably one of the darkest seasons of their life. And so the church has always been a place where people run to for hope and for seeking a solution to life's problems. But something that I never thought I would ever encounter was, you know, was at Chick-fil-A. If, you know, you have an opportunity to, I mean, I've prayed with people. I've seen other employees pray with people. I mean, everyone has seen the Facebook posts.
I've been a recipient of that.
Yeah.
So I remember when Shane prayed for me a couple of times, but the first time he did it, I was so moved by it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow.
Shane definitely, he's a, even the other day we were having we had our weekly director meeting, and as we were meeting at the end, he's like, you know, we need to pray for laborers. We need to pray for people that are going to come and help us. And so sure enough, all of us right there, all of our director team, we sat there and just prayed the Lord would send people to help us. And so You know, Chick-fil-A is far from a perfect place, and it is far from a place that we do a lot of things right, but we also fall short. And but we do want to be a positive influence to everyone that we encounter, and the way we do that is by, like I said a while ago, just developing a posture of service to all people.
So let me ask you this. Let me push the conversation. How do you think the church can do that? Your average church, not your church, wow, Mambrino, or where I attend, Granbury Baptist. We're not isolating any churches. I just say that to our listeners because it can be weird. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the church just in general. And we're going, what can the church learn from Chick-fil-A to make this happen? What's the strategy? I know you're a strategy guy. So
yeah, no, I
what
am.
Do you see? So, what do we do?
Yeah, so I think ultimately, I mean, if you're going to make a change in developing how you serve people, I mean, that obviously starts at the top. So it's going to start with the leader of the church. So in this case, you know, the senior pastor, the elder, however your church is set up, it's going to take them, one, championing that idea. It kind of goes back to that old saying of, you know, practice what you preach. And so we can't expect the church, in the sense of the people that make up the church, the congregation, we can't expect them to have a serving mindset or a serving heart towards all people if that's not being modeled first. And so to change a culture, it's got to start at the top. And that means the leader creating that, designing that, and then finding those key people within the church. So finding your deacons, finding other lay leaders that will buy into that mindset. And then, you know, after you've gotten six on board, then those six find one, and then your six turns into 12, and then that 12 turns to 24, and that 24 turns into the next one, and the next one, and the next one, to where you have over a season of time developed a entire community of believers to have that characteristic of serving all people. So it is a top-down approach, but that is just the necessary reality of people are going to follow what is being championed. And in this case, if I want people at Chick-fil-A to treat our guests with honor, dignity, and respect, then that means I've got to model that for them. They're not going to treat people with honor, dignity, and respect if they see me disrespecting people, if they see me belittling people. What they're going to do is, you know, have the hypocrite mindset of you say one thing and do another. And so now, you know, does that mean we're going to be perfect at serving everything and all the time? No. I mean, we are humans. We are sinful people. And so we are going to struggle. And it's going to be hard for a church to truly get 100% across the board. However, if you can get the majority of your church bought into that over time, it will drown out anything that is opposing that mentality. Now, some people may do that differently. That's not to say that, you know, you need to go out and, you know, hand water bottles out, you know, on the corner and everyone just, you know, say thank you, love you, and all that. I'm not saying everyone's got to go do something like that, or everyone's got to go door to door and do evangelism that way, or but it's some people, it may mean, hey, being a hospitable person and having people in your home that are different from you, that maybe inviting that non-church attending person you work with to your home first. I think of the book by I think I have it over here. It's like it's Rosaria Butterfield, I believe. It's the Gospel Comes with a House Key.
Yeah,
And
I've
that,
got that book.
and so, you know, that book really focuses on, you know, the hospitality aspect of how Christians should be towards one another. And so I do think that if the church leaders can model a style of serving all people, then other people are going to find a way to make that their own. We don't need, you know, 100 people to do it exactly the same way. Some people, you know, they may serve in different ways. Their service may look different, and that's okay. But we still want to develop that that virtue, that character within all of our people. And so I think the church has the ability to impact the culture in a significant way if they truly develop that over time.
So when I came to Chick-fil-A, one of the things that stretched me was it was natural on a Chick-fil-A team. It's natural, this principle. We exist for the customer. No matter what, we exist for the customer. Even if the customer's wrong, we exist for the customer. That stretched me because I was used to being able to say to myself, I don't have to go that far. I had never... In the military, you do that, but you don't have the customers right there. It's a different deal. When they're in your face, you have to, no matter what, and it was natural. That's the word that comes to my mind. I wonder if it's natural in the church, or are we serving just to get people in and it comes off as we have a face of serving on, but our heart's sometimes not in it because we're trying to grow churches, which I'm not against. But there's a religious facade to it.
Yeah.
You think I'm onto something there?
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. I think that the way in which it comes natural, and this goes back to the onboarding process. So we actually describe in the orientation process, at least. Two of the three locations I've worked for, we do this, and I know many others that do this. We emphasize this idea of genuine hospitality. So that's different because you're adding a different word to the idea of hospitality. So when you think of hospitality, you think of hosting people at a home, maybe making a dinner for them. But at Chick-fil-A, we want to be different. We don't want to be like everyone else. If we wanted to, then we would lower standards. We would diminish a lot of the things we do. We would, you know, cut a lot of the staffing things we do. We would, you know, cut out the development things we do. But we truly want people to know that we are glad that they are there. When's the last time you know, if you were to pick any, just walk into any random church in the United States right now, how many of them would actually, you know, be really excited as soon as that door opened? Hey, welcome. How are you today? We're so glad you're here. How many of them are doing that? Now, a lot of them are, and praise the Lord that is happening, but a lot of churches are not. They haven't developed a mindset of genuinely caring for and wanting people to be there and glad that they're there. Now, I don't want to put group, you know, a small amount and make that the majority. But at Chick-fil-A, whether you're getting a $1.65 ice cream cone or you're spending, you know, thousands of dollars to feed your football team, we are genuinely glad you're there, and we want to be a part of it. I mean, I was having a conversation today with he's the assistant superintendent for Granbury ISD, and we were just discussing, because we've done some events the last 3 months with a couple of schools, and you develop those relationships over time to where when you see those people, they recognize you, they appreciate the impact you're having in their life, in their area of influence. And that's the thing that I don't think people understand is, like at Chick-fil-A, we have such a significant influence in the amount of people we serve. We serve people that, man, they probably aren't believers at all. And then we serve people that are the, you know, staunchest, you know, they're perfect attendance pen wearing people. And so there is so much room for us to influence, and the church has that ability too. I think the church does such a disservice at times when they try to cater and be so narrow in who they want to get that they miss out on the opportunity to actually live out the Great Commission. We should be firm in our convictions. We should be firm in resisting things that are antithetical to the gospel. But do we prioritize one aspect of catering to specific people at the expense of the whole gospel? And I think at the end of the day, the church should be about serving the gospel to all people, because that's what we're commanded to do. It's not go and, you know, proclaim the gospel to this type of people. If at Chick-fil-A all we did was serve a specific demographic of people, then we would alienate ourselves. We would lose business. We would not be as successful as. But we want to serve all and any people, and that is distinct in that we don't care where you're from, what you do. We're glad you're here, and we want to serve you, and we want to be a positive influence in your life. In the church's situation, they have the ability to adopt that kind of model, but actually be more than just a positive influence, but be a life-changing influence to where they can actually impact generations and generations and generations of people by the way they serve, by serving the gospel and reaching all people. So at the end of the day, we can be a people that serve all people, but it's going to take setting the standard up front, saying this is how we are going, this is what we're going to be about. At Chick-fil-A, we're about treating everyone with honor, dignity, and respect, and serving all people. And that becomes natural because from day one, before you even clock in for the first time, you know why we're here and you know why we exist. We like to tell everyone that we're not in the chicken business, we're in the people business. We just happen to sell chicken. And that truly is. I mean, there are 70 plus people that are employed that I have the ability to influence what they are going to adopt as principles and developing them as the next generation of leaders in other areas. And we should take those things seriously. It's a stewardship. I really try to do the best I can to develop people in a way that shows humility, but also is straightforward. And the church can do that. And I think they should.
Yeah, I'm sitting there. One of the things I'm remembering and I noticed was the idea Chick-fil-A has a leg up on the church in some ways. In other words, the interaction with each individual customer is only for a certain amount of time each time. The product is very streamlined. It's focused. You know, it's food and good service, and people come in and they leave. And so in the church, we have a different a little bit different piece. We're supposed to stick with people for probably longer periods of time in the aspect that we come alongside them in their lives. And I wrote down here in my notes, we make space for ministry. And I think we need to do that. Another angle to it would be, Shane came up and prayed for me that one day. And I thought of how many churches that don't take time to do that. We see people in the lobby, or we see people somewhere in the parking lot, or whatever it would be. And we fail to make space. Even in our worship services, I would say we don't leave space for some genuine ministry to happen. And I think that's something we could really tap in, because it models, hey, we want to be here in the long run. Now, the long run for Chick-fil-A is not long interactions. You probably have it down to a science for how many the average time someone spends in the Chick-fil-A after they get their food or when they walk in the front door. But the other side of that is they come in over and over and over again, and you remember their names. I was sitting there thinking about this sweet lady that comes in the Chick-fil-A named Norma, and she gets a unique sandwich. She wants it broke down. She likes the cheese on the side. It's things like that that you remember. So I guess we're not trying to beat up on the church, listeners. We're just trying to encourage the church. I do think we have room for, we need to get radical about serving.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I've worked there, everywhere I go, I want to hold the door and say, my pleasure.
Yeah.
And it's really natural. It's not a problem. It fit well with me, but I think we need an outburst of serving in the church is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because it sets the tone for culture.
Oh, it does. I mean, I see so much now how just in a short amount of time, Chick-fil-A's values and principles that we want to instill in everyone that works for us, how it impacts them beyond. I mean, if you send a text message to me and say thank you, I'm going to say my pleasure, because I've been saying that for years. And even at home, my wife says thank you, and I'll say my pleasure. I even catch myself, we've finished eating dinner. It's like, oh, would you like me to take your tray for you, clear your tray? And I'm like, I'm not at work. I'm at home. I can say trash. I can say other stuff. And so but the point I'm making is it developed a culture within me of this is the way to do it. And the church has the ability to develop a culture of service by who is modeling that. And you can never go to the church as a pastor, as a leader in the church. You can never go to the church and expect them to do something that you're not already practicing in your own home. It's kind of like getting up in front of the church and saying, hey, you need to be a disciple maker. But when's the last time you've discipled someone? Oh, it was 40 years ago. Okay, well, why should I do it? You're not doing it. You're not modeling that. So at the end of the day, it's time for the pastors, the elders, the leaders to step up and say, hey, we value all people because God values all people. God has created every person in his image for his purposes. And we should, as the church, be willing and eager to serve those people and to serve them with the gospel, that they might be better equipped to walk through life as a follower of Christ rather than a follower of this world.
Sorry about the interruption there, everybody. That was my daughter, who, by the way, is a Chick-fil-A alumnus herself. Anyway, she's in college, and she's probably college. She was calling, so sorry about that. To recap some action points is, when you go to church, everybody, we want to have an outbreak of serving. And what Kirk has said is, number one, we need to treat everybody with honor, dignity, and respect. Everybody. He emphasized everybody that comes in, not just a targeted few. The next thing he said was, we need to develop a culture of humility. Everybody does the job. I love that part. And then how does the church do it? Starts at the top. We get key leaders to buy in after that. And then he mentioned about the orientation process, that we need to have genuine hospitality. And then I added making space for ministry in the church. Well, what would you say as a listener, as a pastor or leader, or just a servant in your church? What are you sitting there thinking when you think about serving? I can tell you, serving with joy can really change your Christian life. Don't serve because you have to serve. You don't have to prove your salvation. You know, serve because of the joy of the Lord. And if there's something we can do to help mobilize you in your ministry to walk with God, to mobilize people to serve the Lord, to develop a Chick-fil-A mentality in the church, we would love to be a part of that. Reach out to us. I'll put some of the connection information in the show notes, as well as the talking outline that we followed today and created along the way. And thank you for tuning in with us. Kirk, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Alan. I'm always appreciate our conversations. And thanks for having me on.
Amen. Well, we love you at Chick-fil-A, man. Praying for you guys at Chick-fil-A Granbury, especially. Love everybody there. And then for all of you listening, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on the next episode of the Stoke It Up podcast. God bless everybody. Now go out and get a chicken sandwich and serve somebody.